These could certainly create issues for a person's relationship because of its effect on, how someone approaches sexual activity. And a lot of people who have these headaches, which can be very severe, they simply avoid sexual activity or orgasm in order to prevent the headaches. And they have a lot of fear and anxiety around sexual activity. So it's important that these headaches are addressed. Even if someone might feel uncomfortable bringing it up initially, it's important. It can be very important because there, as I mentioned, there are treatments that can be very effective.
We've all heard the old saying, "Not tonight, I have a headache." But what should you do if you have a piercing headache that interrupts lovemaking? What effect do medications we take for migraine and other headache disorders have on mood and libido? Dr. Catherine Hamilton addresses these tricky intimacy issues in her headache practice. She's here to discuss ways that people with migraine, cluster, and other types of headache disorders can still enjoy a healthy sex life. Dr. Hamilton, welcome to Migraine World Summit.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Hamilton, what causes headache during sexual activity?
So it's important to know that a severe sudden headache that occurs during sexual activity can be very concerning because there are some serious and dangerous causes of this type of headache. For example, this could be a presenting symptom of a ruptured aneurysm causing what's called a subarachnoid bleed. So, if someone has a very severe headache during sexual activity, they should seek medical care as soon as possible, which in many cases means ending up in the emergency room. And for anyone who reports headaches associated with sexual activity, in my practice, I typically get brain imaging or other studies to rule out these more dangerous causes of headache. Once the imaging and the workup is normal, and once you've ruled out some of these more dangerous causes, like a bleed, then what we're left with is a diagnosis of usually we're left with the diagnosis of primary headache during sexual activity.
How is a sexual headache different from a headache like a thunderclap headache or an exertional headache?
So all of these types of headaches could potentially be caused by something more dangerous, like I mentioned, like a subarachnoid hemorrhage or a brain bleed or other causes. But again, once you've ruled out those causes, if a person has normal brain imaging, normal studies, then they can have ultimately what's called a primary headache associated with sexual activity, or a primary thunderclap headache, or a primary exertional headache. So these are all considered to be separate diagnoses. They each have their own separate diagnostic criteria according to the International Classification of Headache Disorders. So it's important to know that there can be slightly, the headaches might have some features in common, but there are technically separate diagnoses. And there's a lot that we don't understand about why these headaches occur. There's some theories, and it's thought that potentially these three types of headaches, the thunderclap headache, the exertional headache, the headaches associated with sexual activity, might have some common mechanisms, but we really don't know.
What I'm hearing you say is the first time you have a sudden onset headache, you should really seek emergency care.
Yes, exactly. So whether it's a headache during exercise or exertion, or during sexual activity or at any time, really the most concerning feature that you want to seek medical care for is if the headache is maximal intensity within seconds. If it comes on very, very suddenly and is a very severe headache, that's concerning. And you should seek medical care as quickly as you can, which usually involves going to the emergency room.
Does a headache associated with sexual activity happen every time a person has sex?
Not necessarily. So there are some people who might only have one of these types of headaches in their whole life, or a few might happen a few times and then they never have it again. There are some people who have it over the longer term, who might have it for months or years even, but oftentimes people who have these headaches do go periods of time or do have stretches where these headaches aren't as much of a problem. So there might be some people who for whom it occurs every single time they have sexual activity, but that's more the exception than the typical case.
That seems like pretty good news. How long does a sexual headache last?
It can vary. These can last anywhere from 1 minute to 3 days. So there can be variability. Typically, the most severe part of the headache only lasts a day at most, or even less. Some people experience that for 15, 30 minutes. And then there's a period of time where there's improvements, gradual improvement of the headache, and the headache becomes more mild for a more prolonged period of time.
Do sex headaches only occur after orgasm, or can it happen anytime during sex?
There are really two main patterns that typically occur with headaches associated with sexual activity. The headache can either gradually increase in intensity with increasing sexual excitement. That's literally how it's described in the diagnostic manual of headaches. Or the headache can occur just before or with orgasm. And the ones that occur just before or with orgasm tend to be those thunderclap headaches, those very sudden onset headaches. Those are the two main types of or main patterns that we see.
What are the symptoms? Is it located in one specific part of the head, or what other diagnostic criteria are there for the symptoms?
Yeah, so the main symptom is headache, obviously, although there can sometimes be other symptoms associated with a headache, such as nausea or light and sound sensitivity, dizziness, things like that. But primarily, the main symptom is a severe headache. It's usually quite severe, and it can have different qualities and different locations that can vary a little bit. It's often a dull or throbbing quality. It can often be on both sides of the head, although it's sometimes one-sided, and it's often located in the back of the head or the whole head. Although, again, there can be variation in that pattern.
Let's talk a little bit about who's most likely to have a headache associated with sex. Since this is the Migraine World Summit, I'm thinking people with migraine, but can anybody get a headache associated with sexual activity?
So they do tend to be more common in people with migraine, but it's not necessary that someone have a history of migraine for them to have a headache associated with sexual activity. I will say that in my practice, just of the patients I've seen, they do tend to have headaches, other headaches outside of those associated with sexual activity, like migraine. But they do not need to have a prior diagnosis of migraine to have headaches associated with sexual activity.
Is there a specific age group that's affected most, or a gender, a sex that you see in your practice?
So these really could occur at any age that a person is sexually active. It tends to, the average age is around 40 years old, so it tends to occur a little, kind of midlife range. It tends to be more slightly more common in men, actually.
How are sex headaches treated?
Well, unfortunately, given how rare these headaches are, there are not many treatment trials. So most of the treatments we know of are based on small numbers of patient reports and small studies. However, there are a few different medications that have been shown to be effective for patients and that I've seen be effective in my practice. A lot of people get benefit from taking a medication called indomethacin preemptively before they engage in sexual activity. So what they would do is about half an hour before they are going to engage in sexual activity, they would take this medication. Indomethacin is a type of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug. Another medication that can be effective another class of medication is triptans, which are actually usually used for migraine, but these have been shown to be effective when taken as needed. So when someone gets a headache associated with sexual activity. And then sometimes for people with frequent attacks, we start them on a preventive medication, a daily medication. And this is the one we most typically use is a blood pressure medication called beta blockers. So again, there aren't large trials on these medications, but there have been case reports, and there's not a lot of evidence for non-medication approaches. But I will say that I've had some patients who I think that neck tension could be a trigger for these headaches, and they've done well with physical therapy actually. So again, not a lot of studies, but people, you know, some people might benefit from non-medication approaches.
From what I've read, it's difficult to ascertain how common this problem is among the population. What's your opinion on this? How common is it?
Yeah, I think the numbers vary, and again, there aren't a lot of studies on this. It's thought to affect probably about 1% of the population. So, but again, you know, this, it's a little unclear. It might be underreported. We don't know.
Right, because sometimes people have difficulty talking to their healthcare providers about sex, right?
Yeah, it certainly can be a more awkward topic that people might not feel comfortable bringing up, or they might not think it's that important to bring up, and that, you know, they're maybe embarrassed too.
Yeah. In addition to being a headache patient advocate, I'm also a sexual health educator. So I understand how this topic can be awkward for many people to discuss. What are the psychosocial or relationship issues that sometimes can arise when somebody has a sexual headache?
Yeah, so these could certainly create issues for a person's relationship because of its effect on, you know, how someone approaches sexual activity. And a lot of people who have these headaches, which can be very severe, they simply avoid sexual activity or orgasm in order to prevent the headaches. And they have a lot of fear and anxiety around sexual activity. So it's important that these headaches are addressed, even if someone might feel uncomfortable bringing it up initially. You know, it's important. It can be very important because there, as I mentioned, there are treatments that can be very effective. And there are strategies to manage these headaches. And it's important that people should know that these headaches can get better with the right treatments.
That's really good information to know. So how would you recommend discussing this with a healthcare provider?
Hopefully, you know, you've developed a comfortable relationship that you feel listened to and feel that the communication is open enough that you could talk about something that's a little more personal. But when, you know, once that relationship is established, I think just mentioning that when the provider is learning about your types of headaches and your triggers.
Not only is it difficult to speak to your healthcare provider about, sometimes it's difficult to talk to your sexual partner. How would you counsel a patient when they're trying to discuss this issue with their partner?
Yes, that can be difficult as well. It's you know, not necessarily the easiest thing to discuss that you're having pain or discomfort, especially something that's more rare and you might think is sort of unusual, and you know, why am I experiencing this? Is there something wrong with me? So I think the most important thing is being open and honest, creating, hopefully the relationship is one where you can feel comfortable being open. And I think it's really the lack of communication about what you're experiencing that could lead to problems down the road. So if your partner isn't aware that these headaches occur, they might not understand why you are more anxious or avoidant of sexual activity. And that could be interpreted as a personal rejection and lead to relationship issues. So again, being open, honest is really the key.
All right. I think one thing that people forget or are embarrassed to acknowledge is how important our sexuality is in our relationships and our well-being. So these are all really good points that we should remember. And communication is really so important, not just with your healthcare provider, but with your partner. And I think that could really help solve some problems down the road with people having fears about having sex because they're having a sexual headache. A lot of people have heard this. Can sexual activity provide relief from a migraine attack?
So some people do report that. There is a small percentage. I had to look up the numbers exactly. There's a small percentage of people who do report relief from headaches, including migraine. But I'd say for most people, oftentimes exertion can either be a trigger or can potentially worsen a migraine if you're in the middle of a migraine. Most people, when they have a migraine, have the tendency to avoid exertion, including sexual activity. So that's more of the norm. But there are some people who have improvement.
Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about people with a cluster headache diagnosis. When I was doing research for this interview, I read that people with cluster headache can get a headache from sexual activity. And then I read another article that said a cluster headache can be relieved by engaging in sex. Is either one true?
Similar with migraine, I think it can potentially go both ways. I think there are, it would be a rare case for either cluster headache to be triggered specifically with sexual activity or for it to be relieved with sexual activity. Usually it's not related at all. Cluster headache typically occurs, it's one of the hallmark features is that it occurs, tends to occur around the same time of day, have the same pattern every time of year. That's going to be more of the driver typically than a specific activity like sexual activity. However, there are cases that have been reported of cluster headaches either improving or being triggered by sexual activity. So it is possible.
Just to summarize, what we've discussed so far is sexual headache and thunderclap and exertional headache. And when again should people go to the emergency room to seek attention if they're having any of these issues?
I think for the, you know, especially the first time that someone has one of these headaches, if it's the most worrisome feature is if it's most severe within seconds. So if it's that thunderclap pattern where it comes on and it's really maximal intensity right away. That's concerning, and anyone with that type of headache, whether it's during sexual activity or exertion or any other case, should seek medical attention. And often that means going to the emergency room.
Is cluster headache more common for women who are pregnant or menstruating?
So we know much less about cluster headache in relation to pregnancy, menstruation, menopause than we do about migraine. Migraine tends to have not in all women, but in many women, it tends to worsen around menstruation, improve during pregnancy, and also improve after menopause. However, it seems that hormonal changes have less of an effect on cluster headache than migraine. And often cluster headaches remain fairly unchanged during these hormonal changes. And as I said before, cluster headaches, really the bigger driver is the time of year and the time of day that they're occurring. So typically there aren't major, as there isn't as much of a pattern as there is with migraine.
What other sexual issues do you find your patients discuss with you in your practice?
So I think a big one is typically how, as we've talked about, how sexual activity affects their headaches, whether they have headaches triggered by sexual activity, whether their migraines are worsened or relieved with sexual activity, that certainly comes up. I think, as I said, sexual activity does come up too in terms of some of the medications that we use for migraine can affect sexual sexual function and libido. So that's, I'd say that's another big category.
What kind of medications that are prescribed for migraine are the usual culprits for these kinds of problems?
I'd say the most common class of medications that can cause these side effects are antidepressants. This is a common preventive medication that we use for migraine. Specifically, we use tricyclic antidepressants, serotonin and norepinephrine reuptake inhibitors, or SNRIs, and occasionally we'll use SSRIs. And these can all potentially affect libido and have sexual side effects.
Are these medicines equal opportunity killers of libido, or is it more common in men or women?
Potentially, it could be in both. It's something to bring up when counseling both men and women.
What do you recommend for your patients who are struggling with side effects of decreased libido or other sexual side effects?
So I think in approaching migraine, it's a little bit different than using these medications for anxiety or depression, because with migraine, we do have a lot of other choices. So there are daily medications in other classes, like the beta blockers that I mentioned, that are blood pressure medications. There are anti-seizure medications we can use, and there are newer treatments like the CGRP monoclonal antibodies, once a month injections that can be used. So if someone is having side effects from an antidepressant for their migraines, typically there are other choices that we can use. So a lot of times that might be a reason to say, okay, let's discontinue it. If someone seems to be getting good benefit for their headaches, then that can be a little bit more of a discussion. We might try to decrease the dose in order to minimize the side effects while still getting some of the benefit. We might try switching to a similar type of medication, but one that's a little bit different and might not have those as much of those side effects. Those would be some of the other strategies we could use.
Have you ever recommended sex therapy or biofeedback or psychotherapy or cognitive behavioral therapy for people who are having difficulties?
So if they're having issues with sexual activity in terms of it being a trigger or something that worsens their migraines, oftentimes there are other activity. You know, I think the biggest thing is getting their migraines under control, which can be done in many different ways with medications, but also often we do recommend things like cognitive behavioral therapy, biofeedback, these non-medication approaches that have good evidence in migraine. They've been studied in large trials, and also things that in practice anecdotally we do see really have a benefit in some people. And I think particularly if migraines are causing issues in your relationship with sexual activity, certainly taking an approach that encompasses some of the that manages and addresses some of the anxieties surrounding that. You know, I think something like cognitive behavioral therapy, for example, can be really helpful in managing that.
Yes, anxiety is one of our many comorbid conditions with migraine. So that makes a lot of sense. I always like to tell people that your partners and your physicians cannot read your mind. So it's really important that you tell them what's going on so they can help you. And I think that goes with this as well. Let's talk a little bit about fatigue and allodynia that many people with migraine have. These things can make it very difficult for people to respond in a sexual way with their partners. Is there any way to treat that?
Being open and honest with your partner is the most important thing, and letting them know about your migraine condition and how migraine affects you, and that it can cause symptoms more than just a headache. It can cause fatigue, dizziness, allodynia, sensitivity, that there really are a lot of symptoms that can occur even before or after the headache phase of the migraine. So helping your partner to understand that there are many reasons why you might not feel up to engaging in sexual activity is important. And that, you know, that will again help to avoid any miscommunication, any feelings of rejection or frustration, because they'll, you know, they hopefully would understand that this is a chronic condition that you're trying to improve and manage, but that, you know, can pop up and interfere with life. And then I think, again, just getting the best treatment possible, talking to your doctor about effective preventive and as needed medications to try to minimize migraine attacks and get you back functioning at the level that you want to.
Dr. Hamilton, do you have any final tips for people who want to enjoy a healthy sex life despite their headache diagnosis?
I think we've really covered a lot of ground. The big points are be open and honest. I think as we've driven home, this can be an awkward conversation, both with your doctor or with your partner, but that communication really, really is key, because as you said, you know, don't expect people to read your mind. And in order to make sure that you can have the best and most healthy sex life that you want, I think getting targeted and comprehensive treatment for your migraines is key. So making sure that you advocate for yourself and making sure that you that your doctor or whoever is helping to treat your headaches is aware of how this is impacting your life, so that you can get things back on track.
We all want to have a full and happy life with migraine and other headache disorders. And these are really great, important points. Dr. Hamilton, where can we learn more about what you're doing or follow your work?
Well, I'm not actually particularly active on social media, as I know many people are, but I'm at the University of Pennsylvania. So you can visit my website or LinkedIn profile to find out more about me or what studies I have participated in. I serve as an editor of the website Migraine Again, which has resources for patients. And you can find out a little bit more about me from my bio there. Those are some of the ways you can find out more about me.
Are there any resources that you could recommend to offer our audience about what you're doing or about this topic?
So somewhat related to this topic, I would recommend the book Not Tonight, Migraine and the Politics of Gender and Health by sociologist Joanna Kempner. So this book explores the history of the gender bias and stigma of migraine, and it's a really interesting read. It delves into, as I said, some of the gender biases that have been associated with migraine, and you know, migraine is more common in women, and how that's affected how the disease has been perceived over the years. So that's a really interesting book. And in general, just to learn about migraine, I mentioned the Migraine Again website where I help to edit articles, and the American Migraine Foundation. Both of these have a lot of good resources for people with migraine and other headache disorders. I know that there are resources on headaches associated with sexual activity, and among other topics.
Well, this has been a fascinating discussion. We've covered a lot of ground. We've talked about not just headache related to sexual activity, but how it's different from thunderclap headache and exertional headache, and how to manage this problem, both medicinally and with your partner, with your relationship. It's been really fun to talk to you today, and I've enjoyed it so much. Thank you very much for joining us today on Migraine World Summit.
Yes, thank you for having me. It's been really fun.
Yeah.